Okay, let's unpack this. You might be surprised, I know I was, to hear Iran ranks 13th globally in AI production,
Yeah, it is surprising.
ahead of Brazil even. It
Yeah.
kind of makes you rethink the whole global AI map, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I mean, especially when you think about the sanctions and, well, everything else they're dealing with, it really suggests AI is a major strategic focus for them.
So what's driving it?
Well, that's the key question, isn't it?
And that's where it gets really interesting. The government there is like promoting this big time, a sign of progress, independence, especially with the sanctions.
Right.
They've even set this pretty ambitious goal to break into the top 10 globally.
Right.
And supposedly there's what, $8 billion earmarked for
That
it.
kind of state backing, yeah, it definitely shows they see AI as crucial for development, maybe navigating those international pressures too.
But here's the twist, and this is what the sources we looked at really bring out. It's not just a simple story of tech progress.
Not at all.
This deep dive, what we want to explore is how this AI push is really tangled up with social control, with surveillance inside Iran. So we're trying to cut through the official narrative and get to the core of their AI plans and what it actually means for people living there.
Yeah, the sources really paint a picture of this duality. You've got this tech advancement moving forward, but hand in hand with tightening state control, it makes you ask, who really benefits? What are the broader impacts?
Okay, so let's start at the foundation, the infrastructure that makes all this AI-driven stuff possible. We're talking about things like the National Internet Network, the NIN,
Right, the N on N.
and this Mardar Hajj Qasem Soleimani Data Center. Quite a name. What are these things actually for?
Well, the official line from the government is that both NIN and the MHQ-SDC are about national security and creating what they call a clean internet aligned with Islamic values.
A clean internet.
Yeah, the data center, the MHQ-SDC, launched back in 2020, is positioned as like a cornerstone for digital sovereignty, protecting their digital space.
So the idea they're selling is a safer, more, let's say, culturally filtered online world for Iranians.
That's the stated goal, yeah. Protecting Iranian cyberspace from outside threats, promoting content that fits their cultural and religious norms.
But as we often see with these big centralized systems, there are usually other implications, right? Beyond just security.
Absolutely.
When you have a national network, a massive data hub like this, what does that actually mean for privacy? For regular people.
And that's the critical point here. While they're pitched for security, these exact systems, they provide the perfect infrastructure for massive online monitoring.
Right.
A centralized network like NIN, plus a huge data warehouse like MHQ-SDC, it dramatically boosts the government's ability to track what people do online. So, yeah, huge privacy concerns are naturally part of the equation.
The same tools, different purposes.
Pretty much, one tool can easily be used for another goal.
And then there's the Cmorg supercomputer. It's like the crown jewel of their AI efforts, super powerful.
Right.
But there's this weird catch about where its key components come from.
Yeah, this is fascinating. The Cmorg, presented as the symbol of Iran's own AI prowess. Well, reports say it relies heavily on American-made chips.
Chips that were essentially smuggled in.
That's the claim. A black market supercomputer, as one source put it rather bluntly.
Wow. Okay, so that's a major contradiction, isn't it? You've got the government projecting self-reliance, independence, especially against sanctions,
Right.
but their top AI machine depends on getting foreign tech, maybe restricted tech, through back channels.
Exactly. It really highlights the complexities, maybe the limits of trying to be totally self-sufficient technologically in today's world, especially under heavy sanctions.
Makes you question what independence really means then.
And what vulnerabilities come with relying on these unofficial supply lines, it's a big question.
Okay, so we've got this infrastructure, part national ambition, part reliance on outside tech, maybe smuggled tech. How does this filter down into everyday life? Let's take a concrete example, Snap, the ride-sharing app.
Ah, yeah, snap.
It's described as this big success story, an innovative unicorn startup. Sounds good on the surface, right? Convenience, jobs.
And it is huge in Iran, a really popular, widely used service. But the sources show this pretty troubling overlap between how Snap works and how the state enforces social rules.
This is the part that really stood out to me. The story about Snap drivers getting text messages, about passengers potentially violating veiling laws. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. So back in 2023, Reports emerged that drivers in Tehran were getting these texts. They basically said traffic cameras had flagged their car because a female passenger might not have been veiled correctly.
It's flagged by a camera.
Apparently. And the messages reportedly warned the driver, if this happens again, your vehicle could be suspended for 15 days.
Wow. So think about this. Mm-hmm. These drivers are just trying to make a living, right? Driving people around. And now they're being pressured to enforce religious laws.
It's a huge shift in their role, yeah.
Puts them in an impossible position.
Absolutely. It totally changes the dynamic with their passengers. They're stuck. They need the fares, obviously. But if they pick up someone who the authorities later deem is breaking the veiling rules, boom. They risk losing their car, their income, for weeks.
It's incredibly precarious.
Very.
One of the sources we read actually quoted a study saying this makes the drivers complicit in the government surveillance apparatus. That's a heavy statement.
It really is. And it shows how easily technology, even something seemingly convenient like a ride-sharing app, can be co-opted, you know, to extend state control right into everyday interactions.
Yeah.
That whole promise of the gig economy, flexibility, being your own boss, it clashes pretty hard with this reality, where state rules are enforced right through the app itself.
A long way from just getting you from A to B.
Yeah.
And it makes you think about the human cost, beyond just the surveillance angle. What about the working conditions for these drivers generally?
Yeah.
And the sources touched on that too.
That's right. It's not just the surveillance. The sources also highlighted the tough conditions SNAP drivers face daily. You know, intense city heat, terrible traffic, plus the struggle to even maintain their cars because sanctions make spare parts hard to get or really expensive.
And the tech itself, the app's navigation, isn't always helping.
Seems not. The algorithmic routes apparently often ignore the driver's own local knowledge. You know, the shortcuts, the traffic patterns they know from experience.
Right, the human element.
Exactly. There was this quote from an experienced driver really telling, "The navigation system decides now, like, our memory isn't useful anymore." It kind of speaks to this de-skilling, this over-reliance on tech that might not actually be best in the real world.
And how the workforce itself is structured. All these individual drivers connected through the platform, but not really together.
Yeah.
Does that have broader implications?
It potentially does, yeah. If you look at the bigger picture, this fragmentation, keeping workers separate, not in a traditional company structure,
yeah,
it can make it harder for them to organize, to bargain collectively.
So it could weaken labor movements.
Potentially. And kind of ironically, this setup mirrors trends we see globally in the gig economy, even though Iran often positions itself against Western economic models.
Mm-hmm.
It often ends up prioritizing the platform's profit and flexibility.
So this tech push, this control, it might also have this layer of worker exploitation, similar to criticisms elsewhere, even in their unique context.
It's a crucial point to consider. While the political system is different, the dynamics of these digital platforms can look surprisingly similar worldwide. Sometimes the drive for efficiency and profit can, well, sideline worker well-being.
Okay, let's zoom out again. Beyond Snap, what else is happening with AI surveillance in Iran? It's not just ride-sharing, is it? Facial recognition, license plate tracking were mentioned too.
Right. The surveillance infrastructure seems much broader. The reported use of facial recognition, automated license plate readers, it points to a wider government effort to track people in public spaces.
And linking that data.
Presumably. Linking it to other records, potentially using it to enforce all sorts of rules or just identify people the state is interested in.
And the big worry that keeps coming up is the lack of transparency. Where does all this data go? How is it used? Who sees it?
These are absolutely fundamental questions. The sources consistently point to a real lack of clarity about how this massive amount of personal data is collected, stored, and actually applied. Without clear oversight, the potential for misuse is huge, really erodes trust.
And with algorithms making decisions,
there's
always the risk of bias, right? It's not like the tech is perfectly neutral.
Not at all. Algorithmic bias is a major concern. If the data used to train the AI reflects existing biases in society, or if the algorithms themselves aren't perfectly designed,
then the outcomes can be unfair.
Exactly. You could see inconsistent enforcement, maybe certain groups being targeted more than others. It's a well-known problem with AI systems everywhere.
So, piecing this all together, we see Iran making real strides in AI, becoming a significant player. But it seems like this progress is happening in a way that heavily favors state control and surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes over individual liberties or even the economic reality for some workers.
That sums up the core tension the sources suggest, I think. The technological ambition is clear, but its implementation seems deeply connected to strengthening social control mechanisms.
And it's especially stark, as you said, seeing AI used directly to enforce social norms like the veiling laws through an everyday app like Snap.
Yeah.
That makes the abstract idea of AI control very real, very personal.
It really does. Using AI like that raises huge ethical questions, doesn't it, about the purpose of the technology. Is it meant to empower people, or is it primarily a tool for the state to maintain a specific social order?
And we need to be clear here, just to reiterate, this deep dive isn't about taking sides on Iran's internal politics or social debates.
Absolutely not.
Our goal is simply to understand the mechanics, the how and the what of these AI systems, based on the information in the sources we reviewed. Just presenting what's reported.
Precisely. It's about analyzing the information on AI development and use in Iran and its implications, not passing judgment on the politics itself, understanding what the sources tell us.
Okay, so wrapping up, we've looked at Iran's surprising AI production ranking, this ambitious push forward. But we've also seen how it's tied to infrastructure like the NIN and the MHQSDC, officially for security, but enabling surveillance.
Right, and the Seamorg supercomputer, with that fascinating contradiction about relying on potentially smuggled foreign tech.
And in the Snap example, where a convenient app gets tangled up in enforcing social rules and highlights the tricky realities of digital labor there.
And those specific examples, NIN, MHQSDC, Seamorg, Snap, they really just illustrate that central tension we've been talking about. AI progress happening right alongside its use for social control and complex labor dynamics.
It definitely leaves you with a lot to think about. And it plugs into that much bigger global conversation about AI ethics, doesn't it?
For sure.
The sources ended with a call for ethical reflection, which feels right. So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Thinking about Iran's experience, what safeguards seem most vital as AI gets woven deeper into all societies? How do we stop rights from eroding and make sure technology empowers, not just controls?
That's the crucial question facing everyone, really.
It's a huge question, and it's only going to get bigger. Definitely something worth continuing to explore and think critically about the broad impact of AI everywhere.